Judges chapter 10. Just 18 verses. Three of you read six verses. We'll be all set. We'll have the whole chapter read. George, you want to do 1 through 6? Who wants 7 through 12? 7 through 12. Bill, you want that? And then 13 through 18. 13 through 18, volunteer. Okay, we got the one hand went up and one voice went up. Mary, you go ahead and do the third chunk then, okay? Thank you, Miss Betty. All right, don't read yet though. Got to read, you're last. Go ahead, George.
What is it?
You're going to read chapter 10, verses 13 through 18. 13 to 18.
And after Abimelech, there arose to defend Israel Tubal, the son of Phua, the son of Dodo.
Yeah, Dodo.
A man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died, and was buried in Shamir. And after him rose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him.
So the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the people of Ammon. From that day they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. All the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan, in the land of the Amorites, in Gilead. Moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah also, against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals." So the Lord said to the children of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? So also the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Manonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand.
Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." And the children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray." So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And his son could no longer endure the misery of Israel. Then the people of Ammon gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said to one another, "Who is the man who will begin the fight against the people of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead."
All right, thank the three of you. There were three basic things that were lacking in Israel that showed that the nation was in a state of decay. Number one, Israel's lack of gratitude to the Lord. Israel's lack of gratitude to the Lord. If you notice under Tola, they had 23 years under Jair, 22 years, so a total of 45 years. There appears to have been peace and rest. It doesn't specifically say that, but it's assumed as you read the beginning verses as they judged Israel a total of 45 years. Not much is known about either one of them, but certainly they must have been faithful in their service to God and to Israel. Tola was of the tribe of Issachar, and Jair was from the Transjordan tribes in the area that's called Gilead. Jair had 30 sons. I'd have been happy with just one, but anyway. Obviously had more than one wife. Would you agree with that? We can make a pretty accurate assumption that he didn't have just one wife. He had several wives. He had 30 sons. He must have been wealthy because if each of the sons had their own donkey, you were wealthy back then. And they all had, not only did they have their own donkey, but they had control over a city. So obviously he was a man of pretty good wealth. The boys had a city under their authority. Israel failed to use these good years to draw near to the Lord. You would have thought by now they would be learning something, but they did not use the years wisely. After Jair died, they again fell into idolatry. And God was really, really mad. Can you blame them? So we see the first basic thing that was lacking in Israel showing their decay as a nation was their lack of gratitude to the Lord. And of course, we are suffering from that lack of gratitude in our country as well. Secondly, Israel's lack of submission to the Lord, verses 6 through 16, their lack of submission to the Lord. Certainly their history should have kept them from the sin of idolatry. I mean, if they would have examined their history, stayed up on their history and what had happened in the past and how they had sinned against God and how God had chastened them, and certainly if they would have went way back to the beginning, God said, you know what? Through Moses, he said, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to curse you. Can you get any more clear than that? Do right, I'm going to bless you. Do wrong, I'm going to curse you. But when the times were good, and it's not unlike any nation, when things go really, really well, we tend to forget God, don't we? America became so prosperous that we began to think that we were the reason for it. And we took credit away from God and became less and less thankful for all that God has done and continues to do. And so God began to have to work on us as a nation. And much of, I think, what we have gone through is because of that sin of unthankfulness and taking credit for things that we don't deserve to get credit for. Didn't Moses warn the people before they even went into the land? You're going to go into the land, you're going to have houses you didn't build, crops you didn't plant, vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to have all kinds of cattle and all kinds of things that you did not work for. God's going to give these things to you. And he warned them over and over again, do not forget God. Do not forget God. And then times would get hard, and it was because of their sin. They would cry out to God. And, of course, they expected God to immediately come to their rescue. And he often did. He would send a judge. And that judge would rise up, and God, normally a warrior, and would guide the people into battle, and the Lord would give them victories. And then they would have peace and rest for a certain period of time, and the cycle would start again. Because the norm was, people did what was right in their own eyes, just like we do. Living in comfort often produces men and women of weak character. Think back over your life. Some of you have to think way back. But think back over your life. I'm right there with you. Think about the sins you committed, the things you did wrong, the choices that were not wise. Went through some times of suffering over that, didn't you? Especially if you were a believer then. But also think about what you learned. And when God delivered you out of that and you became the person that you are now and are continuing to become more and more like Christ, if you had not gone through those very tough times, some of the things are not because of sin. We go through things it's out of our control. You know, somebody dies that we love, or we get sick, or we lose a job, or whatever. There are things that happen that we have no control over, and sometimes it's just life. And God wants us to grow closer to Him through these things, not grow bitter. And unfortunately, Israel, in their times of prosperity and peace, chose to abandon the Lord rather than use that to grow closer to Him. The decisions we make in life are based upon what we value the most at that time. Would you agree with that? Things that are most important, things that are highest on our priority list, those are the things that we're going to choose. And sometimes we just make the wrong choices. Israel stopped valuing the things of God and in turn destroyed not only themselves but their national character. They became a laughingstock to neighboring nations that they were supposed to point to the one true God. And instead they got involved in the idolatry of the land. Just like many that claim to know Christ in the United States, we are so much like the world. There is basically no difference between a professing believer and one who does not say they are a believer in God. The opposite of we are new creations, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All right, so then moving on here in the Jair died and was buried in Camon. And the children of Israel again turned away from God, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim, which is plural for Baal. You could translate it the Baals. So there was a myriad of false gods that they served. And then they are listed. Ashtaroth, we've heard of her. The gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord. And part of forsaking the Lord is a ceasing of service, which would include worship. Israel had been granted victory over seven nations, and they repaid God by worshiping seven false gods. It sure seems foolish to me, and I'm sure to you as well, to worship the gods of defeated nations. Does that make any sense? To worship the gods of defeated nations. God's response was anger. In verse number 7, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon, or the Ammonites. And that year they vexed and oppressed. That word vexed literally means crushed. They crushed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And they got exactly what they deserved. The Ammonites and the Philistines invaded the areas of Gilead on the east side of the Jordan and then crossed the river into the west side and attacked Judah and Ephraim and Benjamin. It was devastating to the Jews. It was humiliating to the Jews what was happening. And so they cried out to God. And when they cried out to God, and this is a good lesson for us, we can cry out to God because we are overwhelmed by the circumstances that are a result of our own sin. And we can cry out to God and we confess that we have sinned. And that's good. But somebody tell me what else should go along with that confession of the sin. Repentance. Confessing is agreeing with God. It's saying the same thing. You could call confession calling sin, sin. But if we stop there, then we'll probably go right back into it. But if we repent, that's a willingness in the deepest fabric of our minds to turn and go a different direction. And God gives us the strength and the power to turn and to do differently. But true repentance results in changed behavior. It's that simple. True repentance results in changed behavior. So God knew their hearts were not in it. They confessed in verse number 10. They cried unto the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Baalim," the Baals. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Did not I deliver or save you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and the children of Ammon and the Philistines and the Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you? And you cried to me, and I delivered, I saved you out of their hand, yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will save you. I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen." Which speaks of willful sin, doesn't it? There was no sacrifice for willful, presumptuous sin. Cry out unto them. You think they're real? You're worshiping them and serving them? Well, you cry out to them. See how they do in delivering you in the time of your tribulation or in the time of your distress. God sent a messenger to rebuke them. That's what I just read. Said, the Lord said unto the children, he said through a messenger, the Lord was not speaking audibly to these folk at this time. So obviously sent a messenger, a prophet, somebody. But then in verses 13 and 14 kind of reminds me of the wrath of abandonment. Remember the different types of God's wrath? You have the wrath of abandonment that's described in Romans 1 that we went over back on Memorial Day, whatever Sunday that was, the end of May. I'm going to refer to that again in the next hour, just briefly. Not going to go through it again. But the wrath of abandonment. God said, okay, you have sinned against me and you called out unto me in previous occasions and I've raised up a judge and I've delivered you. And then you go right back after a time of peace and rest, you go right back to sinning again and you go back to idolatry, and you cry out to me, and you moan and groan and complain, and I again raise up a judge, and I deliver you yet again. I've done that 7 times. And now you are back in idolatry again. You're worshiping false gods. You're not serving me. You're not thankful. You're not appreciative of all that I've done for you, the land that I've given you, all the blessings of life that I've given you. And so since you have abandoned me, I am going to abandon you. But they repented. And their hope was then in the character of Almighty God. And that's our hope. We got a big election coming up. I think it's critical to the health of our nation. But whoever ends up in power, we're going to deal with this more in detail in the next hour, whoever's in power, God allows it. God allows it. President Biden got into office because God allowed him to. There was a reason. God has a purpose. And I think we're beginning to see a little of why. Well, I guess more than beginning, we've been seeing it for a good while, but I mean, it's really coming together. And certainly we need our hope to be in the character of God, not in the character of any man or woman that may be running for office. Though, obviously, character matters. All right, so we've seen, number one, Israel's lack of gratitude to the Lord. Why were they a failing nation? Why were they a nation in decline? They were not thankful. Secondly, they did not submit to the Lord. Verses 6 through 16. They did not submit to the Lord. And finally, they repented. And then number three, Israel's lack of adequate leadership. Israel's lack of adequate leadership. Before we do that, go back to verse 15 with me. I want to show you something there. The children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. So that would be the same as confession. We sinned. They repeated that like they did earlier. But then they added this, do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. So they acknowledged not only that they had sinned, but they acknowledged that they deserved God's chastening. Whatever you do to us, whatever happens, Lord, we deserve it. But please deliver us this day. But then it goes a little bit further. This is included in repentance. If we have truly repented, then godly works will follow. They put away the strange gods from among them. So they took care of the negative. They got rid of the idols. And they replaced it with something that honored God called service. And they served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. One translation has, and his soul became impatient over the misery of Israel. In other words, he decided that he was going to again shower them with mercy and grace. His heart was grieved, and he just wanted to restore them yet again. That's how loving our God is. That's how many chances he gives us. Then verses 17 and 18, they lacked leadership. The children of Ammon, the Ammonites, gathered together. They were called to arms and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, princes would be the leaders, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon. He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So they needed a general, they needed a leader, they needed somebody that could point them in the right direction. And when these, not only the physical battles, but also the spiritual ones as well. Which leads us to chapter 11, which is Jephthah, and one of the most disputed and questioned things in all of the Bible, not just in Judges, is Jephthah's vow. When he made a promise to God, the first, if you give us this victory, the first thing that comes out of my house when I get back home, I am going to sacrifice to you. And it appears the first that comes out of his house is his only daughter. So we're going to talk about that and tear that apart, but not today. I don't want to go on into, I know we're early, but I do not want to go on into chapter 11 this morning. Any questions, comments about chapter 10? Yes, sir.
Still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. That's a good point. I haven't studied the Hebrew in that. I am a Hebrew scholar, as you all know. All right. Good point. Obviously, Anybody else? Yes, sir. Gary? Gilead is actually different regions called Gilead, but yes, the part that's referred to here was east. But there were different Gileads.
There were the borderline Christians there. They were next to the promised land, but they weren't in it.
Well, but they were, well, obviously the ones that fought against them were not, but there were Israelites that lived in that region that were supposed to be believers. Obviously, they compromised a lot. But if you check your atlas, your Bible atlas, or look even at the maps, you'll see that there are various Gileads, and this is just one of them.
7:14.
Yes, sir.
That's a good verse.
It's an excellent verse.
It says that my people, that's talking about Christians.
Well, I was talking about back then, it wouldn't be talking about Christians, but yeah, but you're right. I mean, it certainly applies today. Go ahead and quote it. You know it.
Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and if those in one more and turn from their wicked ways.
Repentance.
Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land.
Forgive their sin.
Forgive their sins. That's
right. Forgive their sin and heal their land. Yeah. I think is how it goes. But I'm going by memory. My memory is about 85%.
That's good.
But that is a wonderful promise. It's a national promise. Because God holds leaders of nations, whether they claim to know him or even believe in him at all, accountable, which is a good chunk of what we're going to talk about in the next hour. Huh? Yeah, exactly. All right, let's, anybody else? I don't want to cut anybody off. Anybody else? Our missionaries this week, Rick and Ruth Suh, S-U-H. He's a chaplain in the Federal Correctional Institute in Sheridan, Oregon. And he's asked us to pray that I would be faithful and courageous in sharing the gospel with 1,600 inmates without compromising. Pray for my elderly parents who are in their late 80s. that they would not suffer too much, but be comforted by the Lord's presence. Rick and Ruth Suh, S-U-H. And then, pray for our church, pray for the coming hour. We have some promises that some are supposed to come. Some law enforcement are supposed to come. The sheriff's out of town, so he's not going to be here. I was really hoping that he would, but anyway, we've got a few that have committed. Hopefully they'll show up. Pray for our nation. Critical days. Pray that people will not fall prey to the lies of the media and the far left. I've never heard, well, I can't say that because about everything, almost everything, literally, this is not hyperbole. Almost everything they say is a lie. Almost everything. So pray that our nation will not be duped again. And please vote. Take people with you. Get people signed up, registered to vote. Vote early. Libs say vote early and vote often. I don't want to say that because that would be dishonest. Vote early. Vote early. We Republicans lost the last election because over 100,000 in the key states, registered Republicans didn't vote. If the majority had voted, even though they cheated, we would have still won like we did in 2016. Keep that in mind. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for our troops around the world, our missionaries. Pray for Hope House. Pray for Mark and his health. Rhonda, that she'd have continued strength and great faith. Pray for her mom. Pray for Bill. His kidney situation, blood pressure goes along with it. Betty's niece, Teresa. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Rebecca Force's mom, Ruth, got home but had to go back to Hopkins. She's got a long road ahead. Infection set in. And again, she's diabetic, which makes everything so much worse. But she's hanging on. So pray for Ruth. Pray for Tammy Hummel. Got to see her at the courthouse the other day. She has surgery in August. They're going to take her entire thyroid out and possibly some lymph nodes as well. So she's got a pretty serious surgery ahead of her. Pray for Tammy. Gary's sister Darlene, white blood cell count way down. They took a biopsy of bone marrow in her hip. They haven't got the results yet. But if that bone marrow test doesn't show any improvement, then chances are pretty good they're going to stop treatment, which would, of course, greatly limit her time. Mason and the team is in Costa Rica. Bill texted me earlier, and they had all kinds of mix-ups. Flight issues, and if they took one flight was it totally canceled, and then they were given another flight, but that flight wouldn't get them to where they needed to go in order to get to Costa Rica's flight, have the flight to Costa Rica on time, and they finally ended up finding them a flight that got them to Costa Rica. So hallelujah, they're there for a couple weeks. And then Darla, Fred's sister with cancer, did she have any tests?
You might add to that, my niece Ashley, young lady, just found out she's got breast cancer.
My goodness. Do you know when your sister's going back in?
We was just talking about that this morning. I think my niece told me
It's either the 8th or the 14th of August. I'm not sure which date it is.
Okay. All right, let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the Suhs who are in Oregon. We pray, Lord, that you give our brother the courage that he needs in order to deal with the 1,600 inmates. Give him the words to say and the conviction and the strength to continue on without compromising. We pray, Lord, for our nation. We pray, Father, you'd save America. We know that no matter what politicians end up in Washington, the only real hope for our nation is a complete turnaround, a reformation that, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to grip hearts and turn our leaders back to you and save our nation from all of the wickedness that is just flowing throughout our nation. Lord, the crime and the insanity regarding even this trans issue and not giving people positions because of merit, but because of the color of their skin or some kind of, whether male or female, or even some that are trans. We ask, Lord, that you would turn us back to you before it's too late, if it's not already. And I pray that you protect those that are running for president and other positions. And Lord, may we honor you by the way we vote. May we vote for those that more closely align with the principles that made this nation great. I ask, Lord, you'd bless the coming hour, that you would bring folk in, that we would have a good group. And Lord, we'd have a sweet time of fellowship, Lord, as we show our appreciation for those that serve us in law enforcement. I pray, Father, for those that we called out to you that are sick. Some have cancer, some even terminal cancer. We pray, Lord, that you would heal as only you can, if that be your will. In the meantime, ease any pain that they might be in. And Lord, I pray you give the doctors and nurses wisdom. We pray for Mary this morning, who's really having a serious issue with her back. We ask, Lord, that you would ease the pain and heal her back. And if it's not your will to do it, even this instant, we pray as she goes tomorrow to the doctor that they would be able to help her there. We pray, Lord, that you be glorified in all that's said in the next hour, that bring glory to your name. And Lord, as we come together, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, may you meet the need of every heart, touch the heart of that one that might be here without the Savior this morning. And Lord, may you be lifted up, and may men, women, boys, and girls be drawn to the Savior this morning. Thank you for those that are here. And Father, we thank you for our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Got about, you're not going to believe this, about 14 minutes. Can you believe that? Hello, Tony.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
You said medium, right? You said medium? What's medium?
Warm.
Warm.
Yeah.
Towering.
The one that's, you'll see. Never mind.
One, two.